There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. This is the Shahada, the testament of Muslim faith. Many of you may have heard it before. It can either be seen as a warm and specific statement of belief, or as a call to fight in our America today. I have heard people become inflamed because of the use of the word Allah. There is no God but Allah. And no matter how hard I've tried to explain, that is the Arabic word for God. The statement is, there is no God but God. God is God. Repeating that statement in Arabic, it must be in Arabic, and meaning it, believing it, intending it, whether or not you actually speak Arabic, is the only actual requirement, the most basic requirement for becoming a Muslim. Muhammad is the human side of Islam, the human soul of Islam. And while many people learn something about the religious practice of the faith, non-Muslims often don't take the time to learn about the man himself. So who was this person who brought a third Abrahamic religion into being single-handedly? He wasn't a god. He wasn't a demigod. He never claimed to be divine. He never claimed any miracles. He never claimed anything miraculous happened to his mother on his birth. In fact, he denied it. He was fully and completely a human being and remained human throughout his entire life, despite everyone's attempts to claim he was more. He had a job. He showed up at work every day. He got married. He had children. He got old. He led his people to safety and freedom, and he died at 63. In his time period, he was an old man. He wasn't like Jesus. He didn't claim to be related to anyone divine. He was a prophet. He did say that he spoke with God, like Moses or Abram. And from the time he was 40 until his death, he preached a message, the Quran. And he tried to use his own life to provide an example of the message he was preaching. Now, for us today, that message may not sit well. It was a message of its time, and there are places it does not fit comfortably in modern life. Then again, the same can be said about Judaism. The same can be said about Christianity. For 23 years, Muhammad wrote the Quran, one verse and one section at a time. And even though it may be a little challenging for us to read today, at the time it was written, it was in the language of the people. It was in the common tongue. It was using words the way people used them. It was written so that the common man got it, so that the average woman understood. The modern equivalent to this would be a Unitarian Universalist minister starting to preach at 40 and writing down every sermon word for word as it was spoken and putting them in a book, one after the other. 2,000 words at a time. And then dying and saying right before death, here you go, here's the instruction manual. I think I covered everything. These were sermons. The Quran was not meant to be deep meditational material. It was, this is what I am telling my people this week. This is what I am telling my community, my friends, my family. No walking on water. No crucifixion. No martyrdom. Nothing out of the ordinary. This man was not 7 feet tall. And he was so determined that no one ever, ever pray to him, that he was adamant about, you may not paint my picture. Just in case somebody would put it on the wall and pray to it. Modern life, we tend to get this backwards. We tend to say he thought he was so holy that he couldn't be represented. It was the opposite. According to legend, he would get so angry if someone suggested painting him that he would rebuke them in no uncertain terms. According to a few other sources, he just yelled like heck. He wanted people to focus on the message. He didn't want anyone to remember or care if he was tall or short or fat or thin or light-skinned or dark. It didn't matter. So the center of Islam becomes a weird combination of the Quran and the stories about what Muhammad did and said. People haven't changed that much over 2,000 years. People love to tell stories, and they especially love to tell stories about important people or people they see as important. There are thousands of pages of stories about what Muhammad said and did that he didn't write. So the Quran is the piece he wrote. The books are the things other people wrote about him. The stories are a part of the culture. And according to Islamic writer Michael Wolff, together with the Quran, they form the canon on which Islamic law is based. In a less formal way, these reports of what Muhammad said and did are put to daily use as a yardstick against which people measure their actions and intentions. Wolff goes on to say, just as the words of Jesus are woven into the fabric of every European language, so that, believer or not, most everyone knows who to credit phrases like turn the other cheek, and the meek shall inherit the earth, and render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So too for many Muslims, the words of Muhammad are on the tips of their tongue and can be easily recognized. Collections of the stories about Muhammad are published, and they're usually grouped into usable categories like the Book of Knowledge, or the Book of Prayer, or the Book of Charity. And most of the sayings in these are literally comments that Muhammad made to the guy standing next to him. These are not a learned man sitting in a seat of deep wisdom handing out knowledge. This is literally Muhammad sitting and eating a kebab. And the guy next to him says, hey, Muhammad, what do you think about this? And he answers him. And a student writes it down. This was the reality TV of the day. When you read these, read them in that sense. This was literally off the cuff, instant answer. Muhammad was saying stuff, and his disciples were going, oh, that was brilliant. Let me tell somebody else. He said things like, asking good questions is half of learning. He said, people with knowledge and those who seek it are the only two groups of any use to humanity. He said, three agents destroy religion, an ill-tempered scholar, a tyrannical leader, and an ignorant theologian. I like that one. When asked about being kind, he said, happy are those who find fault with themselves instead of finding fault with others. And I love his comments on morality. They speak to me on a deep level. He said, avoid anything that requires an excuse. And my favorite, this is my absolute favorite. If people had been forbidden to make porridge of camel dung, they would do it, saying it wouldn't be forbidden unless there was some good in it. His comment on pride is also one I enjoy. Strength does not lie in carrying heavy loads. Any camel can do that. The essence of strength lies in taming your temper and your anger. About prayer, he said this. During prayer, God lifts the veils and opens the gates of the invisible so that his servant is standing in front of him. Prayer creates a secret connection between the one praying and the one being prayed to. Prayer is a threshold at the entrance of God's reality. We celebrate Maulid not because it's a day of miracle and wonder, not because a star rose in the east or wise men came wandering through, but because it's a human holiday. This is a holiday about a human person born with wisdom to share. Muhammad, all blessings be upon him, provided others with a way to connect with God and live with integrity. And for any religion, we can debate over how well that's been carried forward into the future. But reading the original teachings, there is wisdom to be gained there, and it's worth looking at. And we celebrate today a rare holiday, one that is specifically about a non-deity human. Take some time this coming year and explore the wisdom of Muhammad. See if any of his teachings help you to illuminate your life. There is no God but God, and Muhammad is his prophet. That was his sentence. What would yours be if you had to sum your belief and your faith into one sentence? What would your call look like? That is your challenge for this next year. Amen.